For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax.
If you say.
Give me as well.
Three times a day. God will light it up.
He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by the teammates every week. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. I'm Joe DeLeon. Joining me as always, my former teammate, former roommate from the University of Rhode Island. Today, we are moving into the depths of the off-season topics for college football, and we're going to be doing something that's a two-parter. First part is going to be the top five best off-seasons amongst any of the FBS teams. Who did the best in terms of who had the best coaching additions, who had the best transfer portal additions, and key players that are going to be returning and coming back for this upcoming season, who did the most to position themselves for a huge step forward in 2024. The second part we're going to do this is, I actually didn't tell you this, Sean. My idea was we're going to do the top five worst off seasons, which I'm sure might piss a couple people off because we're definitely going to talk about Alabama. All that coming up and more. Before we get to that though, Sean, can you just tell our listeners really quickly about our friends over at BetOnline?
You know, gambling and betting and sports betting can be a touchy subject because earlier in the week, I won $10 or $15 playing poker with some buddies. Nice. And then I have that ready to go for the weekend of football. And Joe, do you think I've been properly reamed out by the NFL again, or do you think I've hit some of my bets?
Probably.
I've been reamed out again. Why wouldn't I be? Regardless, if you like the joys and the highs and lows of sports wagering, head to BetOnline. That's where you need to go. They got the odds, the lines, the trends, the info, both desktop and mobile. You can access it wherever you want. Go to your library, sports gamble next to a kid learning to read. That's what you should be doing. And BetOnline, use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
That was a new tangent I wasn't prepared for.
You're never prepared for where you're going to be at 12 o'clock on a Saturday trying to get your line set.
The library is a new level of, because that would imply that you probably, you know, bet your phone away and you don't
have
the
desktop.
Phone.
That's probably, that's the first place I can think of where a desktop
you bet
would
your,
be.
You bet your computer away too, so you're forced to resorting to showing up at the library.
When's the last time you were at? I was at a library this year. I had a
Why?
Meeting. I had a one-on-one meeting.
With who?
It was for a, like a clearance thing. They wanted to interview me and make sure I wasn't like a sketchy character. And it wasn't for me. It was for another person. So I had to meet with like this super suit that was super serious and asked me a bunch of questions in this library.
That sounds, I don't know why, that sounds like a setup for you show up and then in like 15 minutes in the conversation, he's propositioning you to go into the bathroom. That does not sound,
you know,
like
crazy. It was kind of crazy. It was kind of packed. It was like
Who
a Thursday.
The library? Buy your books.
People were there.
Get your money up. Buy your own goddamn books.
No. We're not. I don't think we're shaming people.
Yeah, we are. We are. Go gamble so you have money to buy your own books.
No. Okay. So we know who you are in the library hypothetical at the beginning. You're the gambler.
All right. Let's get into our top five best off seasons of the college football off season window. God, I don't know why I made that so much more complicated than it needed to be. We're gonna go in ascending, alternating order. I will start us off, Sean. My number five, and this is a surprise one. I thought that it deserved it's a little bit more of an honorable mention feel to it, but I thought that it was necessary to include there. But I thought that Syracuse has had one of the most underrated off seasons. And some people in the comments might be like, what the hell are you talking about? I think that the hiring of Fran Brown, who was the defensive backs coach at Georgia, is going to go on to be one of the most underrated hires of this cycle. And I feel like he has the capability to eventually be a big name hire at a much bigger program in 5 years. It's a new strategy that I feel like a lot of teams are starting to do, where they're going out and hiring guys a cycle early, knowing that they're the next up, and taking that chance to see what is that capability. Are they going to be a really good coach, and maybe beating out some of the better options because they're getting that jump. And I think Fran Brown has shown us he's a great recruiter. And I think we're going to find out that he's also one of those guys that the team is going to rally around and really be galvanized to play around him. I love the fact that they had Kyle McCord, which is great for him and Syracuse, that he's going to be less under a microscope. I'm sure that there's going to be more primetime Syracuse games by the end of the season, but I think he's going to improve because he's not going to have as much pressure. He's not going to be facing Big Ten defensive lines and secondaries. He's going to have opportunities in games to really develop and show what he's fully capable of, being a former five-star recruit. And then I love the fact that they had they added other multiple SEC transfers, and then they finished 35th on 247 Sports in their high school recruiting ranking. I can't remember the last time Syracuse was even anywhere near that in striking range. They added the two guys, the premier players, Jamie Tremble, tight end, and King Joseph Edwards, which is an awesome name, an edge rusher from Georgia. So overall, I think that this is fantastic groundwork for Syracuse to move on from Dino Babers, and this is going to be the future of the program.
This is a pretty good pick. If we were to power scale it, Syracuse would definitely have more recognition, but they're Syracuse. And I think they should aim to be that NC State in the ACC, who can be competitive with everybody. They're not necessarily going to win the whole thing, but they can still be playing meaningful football at the end of the year. And I love the McCord ad. I love what they did, but they're Syracuse, so they're not going to get that recognition. That's a good one, Joe. I like that. Can I get to my first one, which I kind of don't like?
Why would you?
Well,
explain Go ahead. Explain the logic.
Here's the thing. I have Notre Dame at five.
Oh.
And it's not to get under your skin or to set some future jinx or anything, but I was going to give whoever added Riley Leonard a top five anyways. I do have belief in him. I think he was one of the for sure top guys at the quarterback position to impact the program wherever he went. If he stayed with Duke, I think the Duke would have gotten huge points for retaining him. But Notre Dame, they still keep a head coach, which I know has people have a lot of mixed feelings about Marcus Freeman. But I also appreciate what Notre Dame's doing. They are taking some chances and some risks in the new age of the transfer portal, and they're trying the one and done for everybody. They are being the tester school to see how well it can work to truly do one and done QBs. It's interesting. I'm interested at how if Riley Leonard does better than Sam Hartman, how they get more wins. I think he might. I'm throwing Notre Dame on there. Just, and a lot of my stuff is going to be quarterback centric. How could it not? That's just where my focus goes. Coach retention, better quarterback. Riley Leonard should make an impact. I mean, I still hope they don't win a game, but I think that they will.
I try deliberately not to include Notre Dame and stuff like this for the obvious reason, because I don't want to sound like a homer. I do show with Blake, and every time we do these list type things, LSU is always brought up because, you know, he's naturally going to be a little bit more biased. I try not to do that. So I'm pleasantly surprised that you included them. I think the Riley Leonard ad, they added multiple poor
receivers. It's Riley Leonard, right?
He's a great it's a great fit.
You have to acknowledge it. At times, it's irresponsible to not acknowledge it. And yes. I will.
He's a great athlete. And then the fact that they added multiple receivers, their recruiting class was phenomenal. Bryce Young, who was going to be a really talented edge rusher, is the son of Bryant Young, former Notre Dame defensive tackle, NFL Hall of Famer. There's the class is like littered with all of these guys that have elite NFL dads, like Taylor's son, Brian Urlacher's son's in this class. Like it was a really, really interesting recruiting class. And that's kind of like this new thing that they're doing. They're also interested in Plaxico Burress's son right now for the upcoming class, which is kind of funny that this is the approach that Marcus Freeman's going with. But the fact that Mike Denbrock, who just put together one of the most ridiculous seasons for an offense and is going to put three guys into the first round, two receivers and a quarterback. Quarterback won the Heisman Trophy. The fact that he is coming back to Notre Dame, I think that's the biggest one for me. Why they deserve to at least be in the conversation of top five.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with them at five. If I had an honorable mention, it'd probably be Colorado for what they did up front on the offensive line. But I just couldn't. It's irresponsible. More responsible move would be picking Notre Dame.
Yeah, we don't do clickbait. Where I refuse to talk about Colorado anymore.
You can't deny that they helped their trenches out, though.
No, they did. And the strategy is kind of just like, let's add as many offensive linemen as possible. And I'm sure some of these guys are going to be good. They weren't like the most exciting group. But again, they're probably going to get the job done better than last year. I am not a fan of the way that the Colorado fans will storm into a comment section, even if you say positive things about them. So I'm abstaining from talking about them unless they're ranked.
Oh, sure. Gotcha.
I'm not doing it.
That's fine.
I mean, they've been nothing but disrespectful in the comments on this channel. So I'm not wasting my, I don't think we've gotten one positive Colorado fan comment. You know what the best comparison, by the way, for this is?
Oh, here
we go. They're LeBron fans. They're all the LeBron fans. Actually, this isn't even a comparison. It's all none of them were fans of college football. They all are huge LeBron fans and have followed him to every place that he's gone. And now they're attracted to a coach who's a great coach, and he's very, eccentric. He's fun to follow. He's fun to listen to. And the way that they comment and the way that they respond to people is the same exact way that they respond to people who say LeBron isn't good. They attack it. There's no, let's have a conversation. No, it's F you. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's like, well, I kind of do. I kind of know more about this than you do because I spend all day looking at and researching this stuff. You're just gassing up. And also the YouTube videos too, that I don't know if you've watched any of them. They're NBA videos, the way that they're, the way that they're framed and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. Like this massive move is going to help Coach Prime, like stuff like that. So, I mean, do you think that's an off-base statement?
It felt like NBA Twitter got into college football. And
that's what I'm saying.
College football wasn't ready for it.
Yes.
And we weren't. And I'm a part of NBA. I'm Mr. Twitter. I'm on every Twitter that there could be. Every little circle, whatever it is, I'm there. And it felt like NBA Twitter dipping their toes into some football before the NFL started really going. So that's how it felt. I liked it. I still like Colorado and Deion Sanders and that entire story.
Oh, yes.
I can't get enough.
I love it.
I like that they're getting under your skin and they're busting your balls.
I just don't. I like just want to interact with the fans. I don't.
That's what you're doing, pal.
Okay, to the fans of this channel that are Colorado fans that are nice to us, we love you. Thank you for tuning in. But I'm sure you're familiar with those that are assholes that are not fun to interact with. Let's move on to my next team. Number four for me was Texas A&M. They have, first of all, one of the best hires of the offseason, not only hiring Mike Elko, which a lot of people said that this was like a really weak hire for them, which I don't get. This is one of the best coaches that took multiple rapid steps forward since being the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame and then Texas A&M. He gets Duke of all places to a competitive spot. And I would argue if Riley Leonard doesn't get hurt, Duke would have been even better than they were this past season. They almost freaking beat Florida State if it wasn't for Riley Leonard getting hurt midway through that game and getting re-injured. So Elko comes in, great defensive mind. He fits the direction and the feel of this team and what they're capable of being. They're going to be physical up front. They're going to be dominant along the lines of scrimmage. Then on top of that, Colin Klein comes over from Kansas State. Very underrated, progressing, developing offensive coordinator. Great quarterback mind. We saw what Avery Johnson did early on as a true freshman. Will Howard did some good things. And then on top of that, their transfer portal has been unbelievably good. They added Des Ricks, who was one of the top corners from the 2023 class, who transferred from Alabama. Nick Scowerton is going to be a first-round edge rusher, if not a top 50 pick edge rusher in the 2025 NFL draft. Unbelievably physical. Sean, if you have time, go watch his highlights. He has got that Ellerson Smith in him where he just beats the shit out of people when he plays.
Ellerson Smith did punch the hell out of dudes.
Yeah. And then they added Cassius Howell and Will Lee III were two of their.
That's a pull, by the way. Pulling up Ellerson Smith for me. That's kind of because I haven't thought about Ellerson Smith in a while. But when you said that, all I thought about was him punching guys in the chest. Mm. He rules. I will watch that film. A&M's fine. I'm cool with A&M being there. A&M's a dumpster fire. And they haven't proven anything to me during my college football watching days, and that's probably 10 years, to show that there's a grown-up in that program. There hasn't been one. Elko, I think, is a grown-up. They finally brought somebody in who could manage this school and this program. Hopefully. Because the track record says no. And they lost control of the program this offseason. The fans revolted against the news about Stoops. All right, no more Stoops. Wait, do you want Stoops? We'll try to bring him back. Oh, wait, now he rejected us. Time to go throw a bunch of money at Elko. They didn't have control, and that's all they needed. What Brent Venables would have been really good for them to bring in. So he is the most grown-up coach I think I see in college football. He just is a stoic dude running the ship, and I like that. And Texas A&M needs that. And they don't have that, but maybe Elko can fix them up a little bit. My number four, Florida State, unless you had anything else on Texas A&M.
No.
Three words, Joe. DJ, you revolution. That's what we get.
You're leading with DJU? Oh, no, brother. Oh, this is some Adrian Martinez bullshit, isn't it? You're gonna compare now, Adrian Martinez. Yeah, you're right. They are comparable. They played at too many schools, and they both sucked. Shit. They both were dog shit. Yeah, they're so comparable, Sean. Go ahead. Explain.
Well, I didn't pull out the book, and I wasn't going to bring up Adrian Martinez. I wasn't going to bring up anybody in my quirked up book. But damned if I'm not rooting for it to happen eventually. And he's played enough football, Joe, where he should finally be better. Florida State made great strides this past season. All they do outside of football is embarrass themselves. They make loud, annoying decisions, but outside of that, they make great football decisions. They bring guys in. They're opportunistic. When Saban left, who was first on the phone, Joe? Florida State. We're getting in there, and we're getting some of your talent that you've been gatekeeping for a while. Their football, strictly football operations team, has been going gangbusters the last 2 years. They've been great. And DJU, worse than Jordan Travis. DJU may be better than Tate Rodemaker. So I will find that happy middle. ACC still stinks, and maybe they can continue to push and get in that 12-teamer with DJU, which I think they can, and that's all they needed. All Florida State needed this year was to be as good, if not drastically worse, than last year. They can't be drastically worse. They can be a little worse and still make that 12-team. So I think Florida State set themselves up, and this is how, if I were running the show, I would want it. Look, fellas, we had magic in a bottle. They screwed us. What do we need to do next? Kind of the same thing. Cool with me. I liked it. I like their moves. I like their direction. They're embarrassing on the outside. They're loud Florida State people. So we get irritated by that. But DJU, savior.
I actually don't mind. I didn't have them in my top five, but I don't mind it because they're losing a lot to the NFL draft because they They were one of the more aggressive teams last cycle in the transfer portal, and all those guys were coming for their final year to make this national championship run, and they just missed it because of, you know, everybody remembers all that. I also think it's big that Mike Norvell was one of the finalists for the Bama job, and he turned it down and then pivots and goes, yeah, I'm going to turn this down, and then in the process, I'm going to just kind of go and steal a bunch of your guys' players while you're figuring your shit out. That to me is a big, big boss move. So I like Mike Norvell. I'm always going to be a supporter of his and the Florida State program because I think that their direction and their
save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Future is extremely bright. Number three for me is Louisville. Jeff Brohm has done some tremendous things in the transfer portal, and they're bringing back a number of key defensive players that are going to help set them up for a really big year in the ACC. And we all know that the ACC has a lot of teams that are vying for that championship. It's one of the more winnable conferences, but there's still a couple teams at the top with Florida State, with Miami. NC State has gotten better. That Louisville is trying to position themselves to be that second best, maybe even be that best team. Their portal class was unbelievably good for what one would expect for a team like Louisville. Tyler Barron, they get the flip last second, who was the Tennessee edge rusher who wouldn't have really got on the field at Ole Miss where he was transferring to. Ja'Cory Brooks is a talented wide receiver from Alabama that was getting some playing time, made some nice plays. Penny Boone, the running back from Toledo, massive dump truck ass running back, 240 goddamn pounds, ran. I know that sounded way more perverted than I intended it to. I meant to say,
you got it, bro. You got it, brother.
Dump truck, not saying that he's got a dump truck.
You got it.
All right, you know what? He's 240 pounds. He ran for 1,400 yards at Toledo. My man's going to run you the hell over. I love it. Colin Lacey, 1,300 receiving yards at South Alabama. One of the best, if not the best, G5 receiver this past year. And then my man, Thor Griffith, who is a compact, monstrous defensive tackle from Harvard who will run through a motherfucker's face and will knock you the hell out and will cause so many problems as a three technique for this Louisville defense. So I love a lot of what Jeff Brohm did.
I like it. Thor Griffith, definitely he was shouted out on CFE. Louisville definitely getting it done. They're starting to make a bit of noise, which I like. The ACC needs two teams outside of the top dog to make some noise, and Louisville was one of those teams last year. Hopefully we get some more of that because it's more entertaining when they do. Joe, I had two schools for my number three that I actually was ready with, and I had to can because I started getting so pissed at the schools that I decided I'm not going to praise them. That is Ole Miss, and that is Miami, and they had some great additions. They were great, but they are not serious teams. They're not serious people. The legendary line. They're not. You know who's serious? Fucking Georgia is serious. They kept Carson Beck. They kept Kirby Smart. They rise above the noise. So I'm putting Georgia at three for being mature, for not hyping everybody up. They took their loss with some semblance of grace when they were left out of the CFP. Stock is up. Stock is rising. I know they're losing talent. I know that they're losing.
They didn't lose much.
Look, losing Brock Bowers and his big, you know, buck running down the open field ass is going to make an impact. But keeping one of the premier college football quarterbacks there and the top dog at head coach, it's going to put you above the clown shoes at Ole Miss and Miami. And Cam Ward going to Miami, stellar. And Ole Miss, I know they brought in Walter Nolan and they had some great moves, but they lost Judkins. And they just, I'm not ready to commit to them having a good offseason because I don't think it's going to reflect in the regular season next year.
I kept Miami off of this because I love Cam Ward, but it's a very wonky class that they put together outside of that. And their recruiting class was left a lot to be desired where they did some really nice things, but it didn't fully come together as good as it could have.
Uh-uh.
So I kept them off it. I like Georgia. Georgia did not make my top five because I didn't think that they necessarily had the premier guys. They probably would have been six for me. Right. They probably would have been six. Notre Dame probably would have been seven in this conversation that we've had here. If they had gotten Caleb Downs, I would have put them at number
big
one.
Change. Yeah.
Massive change because he's that good. And that might be a little bit telling on who ends up being my number one team. Number two, though, Ole Miss. I disagree with you. You're a clown for trying to give shit to my boys at Ole Miss. I am in on Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin has not had the boys up front on the offensive and defensive lines to get the job done against the best teams in the SEC. And you know what he did? He went out and spent some goddamn bread, put some effort in to bring in some dudes, not even just good football players, some monsters. He went and added Walter Nolan, Princely Umanmielen for that defense. Antoine Wells is another talented receiver.
He's very good.
Playing in an already very good receiving group. Chris Paul at linebacker, Yam Banks, who's a strong safety from South Alabama.
I like him.
Trey Amos, they stole from Alabama. And then Logan Diggs comes in at LSU despite losing Quinshon Judkins, which Logan Diggs might even be a better fit for this offense than Quinshon Judkins because they try to rotate guys. And I feel like Logan Diggs isn't a player who has to be the premier guy on the field at all times like Quinshon Judkins felt like he deserved. They're putting together a really damn good team. I'm in on Ole Miss.
I want to be. Do you get that? Do you get that I want to be, but I can't?
I don't know if you do.
I do. All I do is sing the gospel of Lane Kiffin, and I love his weird, manic, crazy, don't give an F attitude. A lot of the stuff that he does, I really, really enjoy, but I haven't seen him do the damn thing in the big game. For me to say, this is a great offseason, pal. I don't know what it would have done. I don't know who they would have needed because you rattled off a ton of talented impact players. But on October 21st next year, when we see them lose by 16 to Alabama, are we going to be feeling
different? They're not losing
to
Alabama. The Nick Saban's gone.
Why'd they lose this year?
Because Nick,
because Kiffin turtle shell themselves. I can't do it. Right. I won't do it.
Who's your number two?
My number two is Oregon. I like what Oregon.
I'm shocked by how completely different our lists ended up being. There was no, except maybe the number one spot, unless you're.
I'm pretty certain we both have the same number one.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Oregon. They could have suffered the fate that Washington is suffering, and Washington isn't destitute and they're not without hope, but they could have had their top, their head coach gone for Bama. They could have done it. Lanning could have. Lanning has history there. Lanning stayed. Who stays? Lanning did. They bring in Dillon Gabriel. He's not great. I had my moments with him last year. You had definitely had some moments with him last year, where he looked great. And the, him showing up and beating Texas and being the dude in that game was massive. It was massive. I think the team collapsed around him. I think I ended up respecting Dillon Gabriel more after the end of the season. And I think Oregon's just going to do the damn thing again with a really good transfer quarterback who was good. Bo Nix was fine. Dylan Gabriel, fine. And then come on up to Oregon, and we're going to play some fun games and some fun football. I see it happening. I could see him really taking off next season, which, and it's just because he went to Oregon, and it's just because he gets to work up there. I could see him possibly being on that podium, not a finalist, not holding up the big trophy at the end of the
right.
year, but I could see him having a huge year numbers wise.
I grappled with adding Oregon for a lot of the reasons you just talked about.
They lost some.
Dylan Gabriel might actually be a better fit for that offense than Bo Nix was, which sounds insane to say. And I think that like that quick trigger, quick decision-making with a better offensive line, some really good receivers, they added Evan Stewart, and they also have Dante Moore, who's going to be the future of that program too, after he's gone. So
it's massive.
The ceiling's really high, really high.
How big of a get was that for Dante Moore? How big is that?
It's incredible.
To have your next guy ready? Huge.
And willing to sit. That does not happen. That really does not happen. No. It sounds like both of our number one, though, is Ohio State.
Yep.
I look at the recruiting class that they're bringing in, the fact that Jeremiah Smith was the number one recruit in this class, a wide receiver who's probably going to play early. Mylon Graham was another receiver that they added, was a five-star, and then a high four-star, Edric Houston, was one of the other ads that they had. They also just got the commitment from Julian Sayin, so they have two elite quarterback recruits in Julian Sayin and Aaron Noland that are now going to compete for the future, and one of them will transfer, but at the very least, you don't have to worry about what happened this past year where there was a lot of uncertainty with who was going to be that next guy, and they didn't play up to that level. Now these guys go out there and they compete, and with transfer portal rules, it's not that hard. I'm sure that they'll give a nice review to whoever loses the job, and he'll be able to go become a starter somewhere else. It happens now in the world of college football. So I love this for the both of them. It kind of sucks who has to transfer, but still. And then on top of that, the adding of Quinshon Judkins, one of the top running backs returning this year, who had a little bit of a down year, but still is a premier running back who's going to be playing alongside a guy who's coming back in Travion Henderson. That is the best running back duo in college football. They added Will Howard, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but gets the job done at quarterback for how this team, I think, is going to be built and will play. A lot of their offensive line comes back, especially Donovan Jackson, who is their best interior offensive lineman. JT Tuimoloau comes back. I believe Jack Sawyer is also coming back. Tyleek Williams is coming back, who randomly showed up on our show one time. All of these guys are going to be so important for their success in 2024. They have built themselves a behemoth. This team rivals and is up to par with that of Georgia right now, the way that this roster is built. The only thing that I will give Georgia the leg up on is their quarterback room, and their quarterback position is much better than Ohio State's. The last piece on this, Sean, I think that the hiring of Bill O'Brien is an underrated move and that a lot of people shit on it. But the production that he got out of Bryce Young and turned him into a premier quarterback prospect and ended up just being a scapegoat is unfair to him. He is a tremendous quarterback developer and play caller and is going to help this team so much better, become so much better.
Yeah, Bailey Zappe really showed a lot of signs of growth this year. Regardless,
because Will Bailey Howard, Zappe was a fourth round pick,
friend of the show.
That's the NFL. That's also the NFL.
Will Howard, noted book entrant, makes Ohio State number one. He's big. He's from Kansas State. He's goofy.
He's big and dumpy. That's all he. I'm so tired of you doing this.
But he's in it. He's following the path of our Lord and Savior. I don't know what else you want me to say about Ohio State. You put a really good bow on it. And they looked like it's almost a little embarrassing how well they did this offseason, seeing how well Michigan did last offseason, and that they're a year behind still. So I know the big man possibly leaving is another huge win for them. If Harbaugh does move to the NFL, that's just a bonus for Ohio State. Those two are entwined. So if the Michigan head coach leaves, then that is a plus for Ohio State, because it's going to make their path easier. Judkins is huge. Bringing back Emeka Egbuka, huge. Mm. their returning players, getting Caleb Downs, nutso. Because you're sitting here like, how did Ohio State get him? And they're like, why wouldn't they?
He was a lock to go to Georgia. He's from state of Georgia. His DB coach is the new DC. Everyone and their mother thought that Caleb Downs was going to Georgia.
I gotcha. But are you surprised that he landed at Ohio State? Or is that just what Ohio State does? They get dudes, though. They find these dudes sometimes, and I'm done being surprised by it. When the season ended for them, there was a good amount of movement from their team leaving. And it became, what's going on here? Huge swing for Michigan. They're still competing for the national championship. Ohio State's bleeding players. And now, 4 weeks later, look at this. Look what Ohio State was able to do. They locked in. They got some huge additions. And they loaded up. They loaded up like Michigan loaded up. They're returning guys. They're bringing in the vets. I think they wanted the experience to make the late push. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a lot more bully ball from Ohio State.
Yeah.
Not high-flying offense, a lot of what we saw from Michigan. Trying their hand at grinding you in the dirt. And if you're bad, they can grind you in the dirt because they're bigger and they're stronger and they're faster. But if you're another good team, Ohio State needs to figure out if they have that mentality that Michigan was able to have and really do it. And that means sacrificing your quarterback and not having him throw a lot. And it means a ton of selfless play. So let's see if they can do it. Either way, the offseason, you have to be optimistic about it if you're an Ohio State fan. It's at least interesting. It's at least an interesting move, a series of moves that they made.
I think it's more than that. I think this is probably one of the more... They went from being one of the weaker off seasons to being the best. It's just, it's incredible the moves that they made. And they moved, you know, they moved in silence. That's the craziest part about it. Now they are going to be probably the lock as the number two team in the country heading into 2024. Folks, thank you for tuning in.
Sorry.
No, what were you going to say?
If Ryan Day doesn't make the finals this year, he's out, right?
Oh, with the team he just put together? Yes.
Yeah, he's out. I just you put together this team, you're Ohio State. You need to at least lose in the championship to keep your job.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments your top five teams that had the best off seasons so far. Let us know at Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio. Hit that subscribe button and we will be back for more.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.